Hi, this is Ted and PK, and thanks for listening to this highlight from Faith Radio Mornings.
To learn more about our show or how you can help support us, log on to faithradionet.com.
Well, we're talking about caffeine and coffee this morning because it's time to check in with our good friend, physical therapist and author Lisa Marone. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're talking about the caffeine struggle. Should we drink it? Should we not drink it? Are we drinking too much? How do you know?
I have this little thing. Have you ever seen that show, Hoodwinked? Here, check this out. Right after you drink coffee. Yeah, and there goes the squirrel. So okay. Sometimes it can make us squirrely, right, Lisa?
He's completely wild. I'm hoping that we're not drinking that much caffeine, that we are like that squirrel. But, you know, some of us are drinking caffeine just to kind of get that little kick to get us started in the morning. And like you, I've just finished my cup of black tea for the day. So that helps me to get going in the morning, too. It's kind of an elixir. There's something just wonderful about that, you know. You look forward to it. And, most of us are drinking coffee or tea or something. Actually, there are some people cracking open a can of soda who don't like hot beverages in the morning. But there's some reason that we like this. And the reason is that it actually helps our brain to not feel tired. And the way that it does that is that we have these little tired molecules that we create all day long. And when we are active and moving and even thinking, our body produces this little hormone, a sleepy hormone called adenosine. And adenosine floats up to our brain through our bloodstream and starts attaching one by one to the brain. And when we get enough of those, we begin to get tired. So, you know, around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon when your energy starts to tank, that's usually because you have this buildup of adenosine. So what do? We reach for the next cup of caffeinated product or a can of Jolt or something, and we basically do jolt our body because that caffeine goes to the brain and it blocks the adenosine. It's like, whoa, no more buildup here. And the brain realizes something's amiss. You know, all of a sudden, I'm supposed to be having adenosine, and I'm not. And so it goes to the kidneys, to the adrenal glands on top of the kidneys, and says, oh, my goodness, something's very wrong. You must produce adrenaline. And so we get a hormone that speeds up our heart rate. It speeds up our muscle tone. It gets us almost a little bit anxious and wired like that squirrel.
Well, yeah, that's interesting to hear about just how our bodies work during the day and why this is such a big deal for so many people. I mean, we often hear the news reports, you know, that kind of we were saying earlier, go back and forth about caffeine and coffee specifically is good for you, then it's not good for you, then it's good for you again. But what's your take on it? Maybe small doses? Is that okay, Lisa?
Yeah, well, listen, this is the interesting thing about caffeine is that, yeah, there are studies that say, yeah, a little bit of it is good. Basically, the National Institute of Health, the American Heart Association, are saying for most people, drinking 1 to 2 cups of caffeinated beverage a day, it should be fine for you. It shouldn't have adverse health effects. When we're drinking more than that, then what we're having is this continuous flow of that adrenaline, which really starts to wreak havoc in our bodies. And so that's what we really want to stay away from, is kind of overdosing on caffeine products. And if you happen to have high blood sugar, that adrenaline flowing in our body, that's going to increase our blood sugar. If you happen to have a fast heart rate or high blood pressure, that caffeine is going to feed into that. So based upon what your personal health risks or issues are, you need to modify your caffeine. But one thing I want to say is please don't be drinking caffeine right before you're going to go to bed. The half-life of caffeine in your blood system is about 6 hours. So you really have to back up your last caffeinated beverage 6 hours from when you want to go to sleep if you're going to actually sleep soundly.
And it's good to know your own body, too. I get very easily addicted to the caffeine piece of that, and so I have to really watch it. I've learned that as I've gotten older. So, and you're right. You won't be able to fall asleep. My son was studying the other night with friends. They drank some coffee at 6 o'clock at night because they had a lot of studying to do, and he was up forever.
Yeah, you know, at midnight, only half of that caffeine has been taken from our bodies, you know, through our liver. So we end up really needing to back our last bit of caffeine up. You know, oftentimes we're having caffeinated beverages with dinner at night, and sometimes that's too late.
Yeah, we need to have that good night's sleep, too. Do you want to talk about a little bit, too, about the problem with not getting enough sleep, and maybe it's the caffeine, maybe you're just not allowing yourself enough.
Yeah, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand like that, okay? We have, you know, we're using caffeine to ward off tiredness when we actually should be sleeping to ward off tiredness. And so when we're not getting 7 or 8 hours sleep at night, we're relying on these stimulants, these naturally occurring stimulants, or these unnaturally added to our drink stimulants, in order to stay up. And that's not how God created our body to work. And so we need to make sure that we're getting a good amount of sleep. If you cannot sleep 7 to 8 hours on one particular night, you just happen to have a bad night's sleep, then go ahead, if you have time during the day, and take a quick nap. Mm-hmm. The sleep experts say the best thing is about a 15-minute nap, or if you can sleep for a whole sleep cycle of 90 minutes, that's beautiful. If you wake up somewhere like 30, 40 minutes into it, you feel awful, do you not?
Yeah, that's
groggy,
right.
It takes you like an hour to get over that nap.
Yeah, I've been there. It's not fun.
I love my power naps, though. If I can do a 10-minute to a 15-minute nap, I am a happy camper.
Yeah, so naps are great when you've missed a particular night's sleep. But let me tell you, if you sleep poorly most all the time, do not get into the habit of daytime napping to catch up on your sleep, because you'll never be able to restore a good night's sleep. So whenever you nap, you basically take your brain and you wipe out all those adenosine molecules. And so when you get to your natural bedtime, then you're not as tired as you should be. So you kind of have to bite the bullet in terms of like keeping away from the daytime naps if you regularly have a sleep problem at night.
Good stuff. Lisa Marone, our guest here at Faith Radio Morning. She joins us every couple of weeks at this time, giving us some good health tips. She's a physical therapist, also author of many resources. In fact, talking about sleep, your book, Sleep Well Again, is a great resource for this. And we have links up at faithradionet.com. Just go there, faithradionet.com. Click on Faith Radio Mornings. Find more information and links to Lisa Marone. Lisa, I always appreciate your insight. Hope you sound like you're awake. You sound like you don't need a nap, so that's good.
I am. I'm good. I had a great night's sleep last night. Yeah, and listeners can go to my website and sign up for my Monday morning health tips and get a little one of these tips each week.
That sounds good.
Great.
And the current
Thank
one,
you.
Current one is on napping. In fact, that's posted there if people want to read a little bit more. So we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, super. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good stuff there.